how you're related, age, ethnicity, and home phone number. So me and my wife, we have two kids. I'm 40.
You get the idea. Your information is completely confidential. By law, it cannot be shared with anyone. The census only comes once every 10 years, and 2020 is our chance to get it right.
Audio Stages. I'm your host, Hal Linden. Tonight, we're proud to present Sundown by Peter Link, Joe Bravacco, and Larry Rossler. Please turn off your screens, lower your lights, and lean back and relax as we present Sundown.
If you've got a gripe, we can end it now. If you treasure your life...
You have great poise, Dr. Holliday.
Do not force me to go for my gun.
And you seem a bit unsteady on your feet.
Don't let my inebriated state fool you, sir. I am not now, nor ever will be, anyone's easy mark.
Are you still alive? There's a hole in your jacket leading right to your heart.
This here book in my breast pocket took the hit. Mr. John Keats took a bullet for me. Please take it as a souvenir.
Your quicksilver draw is starting to lose its luster.
I'm just not ready for your cold embrace. The luster, my darling, is on the horizon. Take a good look at its magnificent splendor.
Oh, the desert sun is shining on an Arizona morning, setting all the world on fire, turning canyons into gold. And I've never seen it bigger, and I've never seen it brighter, and it's never been so clear to me my luck is turning cold. I can see my life before me on the Arizona morning, and there's suddenly a future where the darkness used to be. Time to leave this world of wonder to the coyotes and the badgers. Gonna leave before the undertaker gets his hands on me. Goodbye, Arizona morning. I have seen the light and seen it clean and clear. I better figure where I'm gonna go from here. Here in the bright white morning, I could head down to Pueblo, but I drink too much tequila. I could head up to Nebraska, but I'd bust a gun and corn. And I've got a sudden craving for Atlantic crab and oysters, so I'm packing up and heading this Arizona morn. Goodbye, Arizona morning. I am heading home across the countryside. Goodbye, Arizona morning. I've got a feeling that it's time.
Settle up your bill, Doc, and book your seat on the 3 o'clock coach.
Thank you, Mr. Behan.
Going where the cool wind blows, shake the desert from my clothes. Only Sagittarius knows what lies ahead. Adios and let's get going on in Arizona morning. Farewell, my friends and neighbors, may you keep your powder dry. Pretty soon I will be strolling on the beaches by the ocean, and I'll think of all you sinners neath the Arizona sky. Countryside. Goodbye.
dock into the Oriental Saloon, where Ike and Billy Clanton and Frank and Tom McLowry are huddled around the clicking sound of a telegraph machine.
Is it from the Santa Fe, Ike?
Calm down, Billy.
Boys, that message is tapping out the tune of our prosperity.
Leanne, get over here. Translate this clickety-clacking thing. What's it say?
Have accepted your offer. Stop.
I knew it!
$2,500 guaranteed for right away. Stop. Plus $200 per month for next 3 years.
We did it, boys! We struck the motherlode!
Show up another deal, Mr. Clanton?
Hey, Doc. Hey, in fact, we have. I am now officially a railroad maggot.
Well, congratulations.
Right. Why don't you join us entrepreneurs for a drink?
I'm afraid I can't this time. There's a stage coming that I don't intend to miss.
You leaving town already? You ain't even been here for what, 2-3 months?
Hell, who's gonna bleed me dry at the poker table from now on?
I'm supposing our new sheriff, Mr. Wyatt Earp, would welcome a sociable game of cards with his new best friends.
Did I hear correctly? Did you say Wyatt Earp?
Supposed to be a pretty good sheriff. Cleaned up Dodge City, he did.
Good day, gentlemen, and may the Lord protect each and every one of you from Wyatt Earp.
A toast to our new sheriff.
Long may he reside in our back pocket.
As Doc Holliday returns to the hotel to pack his things, he runs into two old buddies, Morgan Earp and Federal Marshal Virgil Earp, two dusty cowboys who have just ridden into town.
Hey, Doc, it's been a long time, my friend.
Virgil!
How the hell are you, Doc?
Morgan!
A lot's been happening. Did you hear about Wyatt getting the sheriff's job here?
Just heard. A little frightening.
I pulled some strings.
So where is he?
God damn it! That was my last bottle of whiskey.
Oh.
Bobby!
Howdy, Wyatt.
Luke McGlue told me you was dead.
Luke was mistaken, Wyatt.
It's good to see you. What are you doing in that getup?
Yeah, you look kind of citified.
Gentlemen, say hello to John H. Holliday, DDS of Baltimore, Maryland. In 2 hours, I'm getting out of this godforsaken place and going home.
You're leaving?
In 2 hours.
But I just got here. Well, let's stop wasting time here and get that man a drink. Come on, Doc. Virgil's buying.
Save your blasted money. I am not interested.
Are you on the wagon or something?
As a matter of fact,
don't say.
Not only did I give up the booze, I put down my gun.
What?
You ain't wearing a gun?
Can't be true.
Boys, go ahead. Line them up while I figure out what this imposter has done with our Doc Holliday. You can't be serious.
I'm a changed man, Wyatt.
Come on, Doc. This town's ripe for the plucking. Sure, it's an untidy dust heap right now, but when it settles down, why, you and me, we'll be on top of the mountain.
Forget it, Wyatt.
That's just what I'm going to do, Doc. Go on now.
Dragging along a reluctant Doc Holliday, Wyatt bursts into the Oriental Hotel saloon.
Brothers, it's all settled. Doc Holliday ain't going nowhere, at least not while Virgil's buying. Who are these fellas, Virg?
Wyatt? This here is Ike Clanton and his brother Billy.
How do you do?
And Frank and Tom McLowry.
So, which one of you's bartender? Because I need a drink real bad.
John Behan tends the bar.
And that's the man I'm interested in meeting. Hey, you! Polish in your mama's silverware. A bottle of whiskey.
Bar can't open till noon. Town ordinance.
What?
It's a special occasion, Mr. Behan. Please get the new sheriff a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, coming up.
If I could speak with you for a minute, Sheriff.
I'm too sober to be interested in anything you gotta say.
Well, you might be interested in meeting your deputy.
My brother Morgan's my deputy.
That's me.
I was deputy under the last sheriff.
The last sheriff's dead. That being the case, you are here with fire. Pronto.
I don't think you understand the situation.
What is it I don't understand? You're out, my brother's in.
Not in Tombstone, he ain't.
Well, Mr. Earp.
Well, Mr. Clanton.
We got a fly in the ointment. Now ain't that a shame? A worm in our apple, a moth in our flame. A minor distraction, but nevertheless, a fly in the ointment had better be swatted, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
We got a letter from
the governor that you're gonna be our man. Now you're in the family. Welcome to the Clanton Clan.
Learn to look the other way and you might get a raise in pay. Now what do you say to that, sir?
I say shove it in your hat, sir.
What he means to say is he's proud to serve the people of Tombstone and looks forward to working with you in a spirit of cooperation. No extra incentive is necessary. Isn't that what you mean to say, Wyatt?
Wyatt! What I mean to say is you try to buy this sheriff, and you'll be negotiating with the barrel of a shotgun.
Well, Mr. Earp?
Well, Mr. Clanton, looks like
we got a fly in the ointment, a mouse in our trunk, a fox in the hen house, a skunk in our bunk. A minor distraction, but nevertheless, a fly in the ointment had better be swatted, I guess. Yes, we got a fly in the ointment, a snake in the well, a rat in the rafters, a bat off and smell. And all of a sudden, the world's out of tune. That fly in the ointment, we've got to get rid of it soon.
Soon, Mr. Earp.
We've got to get rid of it soon.
Soon, Ike, and it's Sheriff Earp.
We've got to get rid of it. Rid every bit of it. Got to get rid of it.
I intend to sweep this town clean. Careful you don't fall under the whiskers of my broom.
It's a nice little world we built here, Ike. Pity if it should all come down like a house of cards.
Relax, Tom. Wyatt Earp clearly doesn't understand how the political affairs of Tombstone are conducted. How much does it cost to have a sheriff removed from office these days?
And just a half hour later, outside the saloon...
Come on, Doc. Why don't you stay a little longer?
I wish I could, Verge, but I gotta catch that stage.
Excuse me, fellas. My brother's got something for the marshal. Don't you, Billy?
Right. This here telegram came for you just now. Looked kind of important, so we brought it over. I gotta go.
What put the fire in his britches? What's it say, Verge?
Give me a chance to open it.
Well, good news?
Oh, boy. We got a problem, Wyatt. It appears the office of the territorial governor has made your appointment as sheriff null and void.
What are you talking about?
And as marshal of the territory known as Arizona, I am instructed to... God help me. Remove you from office forthwith.
Forthwith? But you ain't gonna do it, are you?
Let me see that.
No man alive does take the badge off of Wyatt Earp.
Doc calmly removes the badge from Wyatt's vest and pins it on a rather reluctant Behan.
Wear it in good health, Mr. Behan.
What?
I wouldn't get too used to that thing hanging on your chest, you hear me?
Sheriff Behan, perhaps you should clarify for these gentlemen the town ordinance concerning loitering.
Now listen up, Doc. If we get to that territorial governor, just like the Clantons did, I'll bet someone could persuade him.
Damn, why? Get this through your thick skull once and for all. I have no intention of becoming entangled in your affairs. You and I, sir, have come to a fork in the road.
Nevertheless, the 3 o'clock coach comes and goes without Doc. That night at the Oriental Saloon, as the Clantons sit around a table smoking cigars and raising their glasses in a self-congratulatory mood, their celebration is suddenly interrupted by the entrance of Kate Fisher, a wanton vagabond who comes barreling into the hotel saloon pursued by the new sheriff, John Behan.
Bartender? This place got a bartender, and I'm gonna need a room.
Excuse me, miss. You can't go in there.
Who's she?
Never seen her before.
Now get me a key for a room, or do I gotta get one myself?
I'm really sorry, ma'am, but the law says an unescorted woman cannot spend the night in a hotel.
What?
Is there something I could do to help?
Yes, there is. You can walk bare-ass backward into a herd of buffalo and butt out.
Ma'am, we don't want to break no laws. It's the sheriff's first night on the job. But nothing wrong with having the woman join us at our table. Sheriff, the lady will cause you no problems, I promise.
Well, okay. but no drinking in public after 11 o'clock, and I'll be back to check.
Can't get a room? Can't get a drink?
Where the hell am I? Purgatory?
Tombstone. But it ain't so bad.
I got a pocket of greenbacks and bought a bottle of rye. I got a hunch you've been traveling and you're probably dry.
What are you driving at?
Well, I've been standing here wondering, you're such a good-looking lass. Would kill the night with a cowboy and let him fill up her glass.
Place is sounding better.
Come on and raise it up, you little buttercup. While the night is young, come on, baby, gonna have some fun. All right. Why don't you have one more drink? Honey, have one more drink. I bet you we could have fun.
You'd like it.
You better buy
one more drink.
Howdy, girl.
One more drink. We'll have a bottomless shoe. One more shot. One more two.
Feels so good.
Why don't you have one?
Keeping a close eye on Doc, who's outside on the porch of the Oriental Hotel with a slightly inebriated Wyatt Earp.
Listen to this, Doc. I got me a plan for the two of us.
I don't want to hear it. I already missed my stage, and I'm angry with you, Wyatt.
Come on. It'll be just like old times.
Wyatt, you have got to find yourself a distraction, something to cuddle up to at night, to press against your chest to make you feel good.
Exactly. That's why I need that bag.
I'm referring to a woman.
Oh.
If you were bouncing more than a bottle of booze in your lap, maybe you'd leave me alone.
I suppose a woman would be more fun. What's that?
A woman, I think.
She dropped something.
Any air out here?
Peyote!
Am I dead? Did I die?
Come, Jehoshaphat, Doc. Will you look at this? Peyote!
What the hell is happening?
And you've been drinking on top of this? Girl, you are lucky to be alive.
My head is pounding so hard, it feels like it's gonna explode.
You don't look so good.
Looks fine to me. I'll take her.
Now hold on there. I didn't say I didn't want her.
Sorry, Wyatt. I got her.
Excuse me, boys.
Look at what the wind blew in.
The lady is my date for this evening.
I don't see your name on her dance card, Tom.
I'm not in the mood for your clever remarks, Doc. Now, you'd be well advised to hand her over.
Is that a threat, McClure?
Wyatt. Now, Tom, why would a good-looking chap like you want a woman like her? Simply be grateful that I am relieving you of this dirty sack of laundry. And no thanks are necessary. Good evening, sir.
But ain't he a gentleman? Not Tom. Night, Tom.
You ain't heard the last of this holiday.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, Doc's in his room at the mirror, fiddling with his tie, when suddenly the pile of disheveled sheets on the brass bed flies into the air. And there's Kate.
Morning.
Where the hell am I? Who are you? And what damn day is this?
She climbs out of bed and closes in on Doc.
I'd certainly be remiss if I didn't thank the gentleman who provided the room and board.
Getting a little too close for my comfort.
That's real nice of you, ma'am. Now may I have my wallet back?
What are you talking about?
You lifted my wallet. Come here.
Hey, get your paws off me. You got no business in my bloomers.
Doc holds his wallet aloft.
Ah, here it is. You have very nimble fingers, little lady. Picking a pocket is a skill that I myself have been unable to master, although I hope someday to learn the tricks of the trade. And by the way, I'm Dr. John Holliday, dentist. My friends call me Doc.
I'm Kate Fisher, and I can't repeat what my friends call me.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Miss Fisher. And if I weren't leaving town presently, I would be honored to spend some time with someone as delightful as you.
Delightful? Look, I may have given you the wrong impression. You know who I am? Cattle Kate of Wyoming, the notorious rustler queen. Almost got hanged for it, too.
Is that right?
That's right. You think you could handle a woman they call notorious?
Well, let's see.
My, that was nice.
Oh, I can do a lot better than nice.
The buck wagon's ready to roll, Doc.
Well, like I said, I gotta be going.
How about one more of those?
Well.
Well.
Hey, Doc, I ain't got all day. You in there? Doc! Doc!
Needless to say, Doc misses his ride again. Doc and Kate don't leave his room until the evening of the following day when they pull themselves together and head out for a stroll along the streets of Tombstone. They soon run into...
Evening, Wyatt!
Well, if it ain't the dandy dentist himself.
Kate Fisher, I would like you to meet Mr.
Wyatt Earp. And we've already met under somewhat more intoxicating circumstances.
I've been showing Miss Fisher the sights of our fair city.
We just saw Chinatown, and we're on our way to dinner at a downtown restaurant.
Then on to the Fremont Street Theater, where scenes from Julius Caesar are being presented.
Forget that. I got a real production up my sleeve that'll make you shiver with fear. You want to hear it? Well, I'll tell you anyway. The Santa Fe Railroad is paying the princely sum of $2,500 to the Clantons.
Any other earth-shattering news?
There sure is. That moron sheriff told Virgil that the payment is coming in tomorrow by Wells Fargo and in cold, hard cash.
You thinking of hitting that stage?
I ain't the sheriff anymore.
Wyatt, you've been pondering so hard you had no time to think.
You don't seem to appreciate the magnitude of my losing that badge. What do you say, Doc?
Wyatt, you are the last person on Earth I would hit a stage with.
Now, why do you say that?
Because you'd pose for pictures with the driver, the passengers, and every butterfly and bee along the way.
Something wrong with posing for pictures?
Come on, Doc. You promised me a dinner at that fancy restaurant. You all right?
Just a little dizzy, that's all. No cause for alarm.
You're sweating up a storm. You got the white plague, don't you?
Think about it, Doc.
I prefer the term consumption.
Now that clipping makes sense.
Will you stay out of my pockets?
I can't help myself. You're such an easy prey. Are you thinking about spending time in this place in Colorado, this, Sulphur Springs? It says here the fumes are medicinal.
Kate, have you ever seen Baltimore?
We were talking about Sulphur Springs.
You'd like Baltimore. The city's a beauty, Kate.
So special. Why'd you leave?
6 years ago, the doctors gave me 6 months to live. They suggested a dry climate. So I packed my bags and I headed west.
But, Doc, don't you think Sulphur Springs would be perfect?
Are you familiar with John Keats, the poet? This book of his poetry saved my life, stopped a bullet from entering my heart. I believe this is Mr. Keats's way of telling me I can go home and live a normal life again. And Kate, why don't you come with me?
I don't know what to say.
Look, I need to freshen up some. Why don't we meet at the Oriental in, say, 15 minutes, and we'll cement our plans about Baltimore over that dinner I promised you.
You're being a bit presumptuous, aren't you, Dr. Holliday?
Kate, you can eat dust for the rest of your days, or you can dine on crab legs and pink champagne. You are free to choose.
If I'd have stayed with that lawyer out in Santa Fe, he would have draped me in jewelry, and I'd be rich today. I could have seen Atlantic City and Saratoga Springs, and in time chance with a handsome Kansas farmer that I knew. I could have got tired and been a bride if I'd only said I do. I could have rustled up his breakfast, fixed supper. Bridges are gone. Where is my soldier from Texas who swept me off my feet? Was it a sailor or a tailor who lived on Bourbon Street? Well, I've had both. And life ain't over yet, but then I look there in the mirror, and it won't let me forget. I've been burning bridges behind me, and the time is ticking on. I better take what I can get before
gone. Crab legs and pink champagne. Deal me in.
Tom and Billy are seated at a card table. Over at the Oriental, Tom is teaching Billy the fine art of palming a card.
You're a natural, Billy.
Frank and Ike enter with Doc and escort him directly to the card table.
Hey, Tom. It took some persuading, but Doc here's going to join us for a quick game.
I've got 15 minutes.
That's great, Doc. But we can still use another hand, and I say, let Billy play.
The kid? I don't know.
I'm ready.
All right, I guess.
Deal, Billy boy.
So, Doc, did you and the new girl in town hit it off last night?
I would love to discuss with you the delightful company she provided, but I appreciate a quiet table when I play cards.
Yeah, and you know what I appreciate? Ending the evening with a woman I started with.
Still playing that tune.
Sad to see a woman come between friends. Is it my bet, boys?
The men silently discard their unwanted cards, and new cards are dealt by Billy. Suddenly...
What was that?
What was what?
Did you see that? The kid's trying to palm a card on us.
No, he isn't, Doc. Now, can we dispense with the allegations and play poker?
Hell, the kid shouldn't try to palm a card if he doesn't know how.
I did nothing wrong.
See, you made a mistake, Doc.
Next time, I'm not going to be so patient, Billy.
We're all losing patience, Doc. I believe it's my bet.
But before Frank's bet is cast, Doc reaches across the table and grabs Billy by the collar.
You did it again, Billy.
Doc, what are you doing?
Let me go.
That's enough, Doc.
Tom, get him off me.
Let him go, Doc.
He needs to learn a lesson.
Let me go, Doc.
You don't accuse my friend of cheating. Now tell Billy you are sorry. Say it. Say, I'm sorry of accusing you of cheating. I must have been mistaken.
Tom, let it just end here. We don't want any...
Up and dodge, the word is your speed itself. Go for your gun, Holiday.
I don't want to fight you, Tom.
I don't see it strapped to your hip, but there's a piece of steel on you somewhere. A killer like you is probably a walking arsenal.
You got a Derringer up your sleeve?
Or maybe you're wearing one of them fancy shoulder holsters, huh? So where's the gun, huh?
Well, what do you know? Hey,
I just found me a wallet. Feels fat. Here's a present for you, Billy.
I don't want his wallet.
Take it. Look at the gunfighter. He's sweating like the dog he is.
This ain't right.
Tom, the man ain't well.
Too much gambling, smoking, and women, right, Doc?
You should cover your mouth when you cough, Doctor.
I said cover your damn face, you cold-footed consumptive.
Kate enters and moves in like a lightning flash, grabbing Frank's gun from his holster.
Hey, get away from him. You hear me? Get out of here, or I'll kill all you.
She is a persuasive woman. The Clanton gang backs off and quickly leaves the casino. Kate rushes to Doc as blood oozes through Doc's fingers, which cover his mouth. They drip onto his white shirt. This was supposed to be my time, but there she was.
My God, what have they done to you? What can I do to help, Doc?
There's nothing you can do.
Just go away, please.
Doc.
Please, just go.
Kate backs away into the dark, leaving Doc and me alone.
This is how it ends. I'm down on my knees. Lord, put me at ease. When the sun descends on me, as daylight fades away, I feel like a ghost. Tonight, what I need most is another day. Sundown. Standing on the line between day and night, a man in the twilight. down. Hold on, I'm gonna live forevermore. The
next day, Kate comes to Doc's room at the Oriental.
Come in, Kate. I really thought you'd be long gone by now.
I feared the same thing about you.
Did you? Funny, we hardly know each other. What do you care if I live or die?
That's the thing of it, Doc. I'm beginning to care about, well, a lot of things.
Don't go getting that doe-eyed look on your face. You'll regret it. You want a drink?
Doc, I've been considering your proposition and seeing how we do kind of get on good. If you want to move on together, I'm willing. I know your heart is set on Baltimore, but I thought maybe we could travel up north.
Amazing how this rot gut numbs the pain.
You got to get away from all this. Colorado is beautiful country. Give me that bottle, Doc. You had enough.
Out of whiskey.
We could get you a room in that sanitarium up in Sulphur Springs.
Out of money, too. I sure could use some... Wait a minute. Ha-ha! Boy, wouldn't that tweak their noses. Just at the present, I'm not going anywhere, Kate.
Doc opens his closet door and reaches for his holster and gun, straps it on, and suddenly he looks surprisingly alive again.
I have a little job to do.
Ike! Tom! Somebody hit the stage!
What?
Hit! Robbed! Held up! You better come quick, Ike! Out of my way, Doc!
Well now, Morgan, what do you suppose put them in such a lather?
Maybe the Wells Fargo robbery.
I heard about that. Somewhere outside of Bowie, wasn't it, Morgan?
Why, you...
Leave it go, Tom.
And let them make fools of us?
I know how to handle the likes of them. I'm a firm believer in due process.
So am I. And I promise whoever did this will get his due.
Never, 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 as long as badgers give birth, will I share a good idea with you again.
Tell me you didn't hit that stage.
You stole my idea, you dirty sidewinder.
I am a bad man, very bad man.
We gotta get out of here.
I have seen the elephant on top of Pike's Peak.
You're enjoying this, ain't you, Doc? Ain't you? If the Clantons find out you hit the stage, they'll hang you. Why risk everything now? You come so far. We gotta get out of here. We can pack our belongings and be gone in no time. Doc?
We'll need a couple horses.
Too late. Tom McLaurie steps from the shadows.
I have a .45 caliber, single-action Colt pointed at the back of your girl's heart. Hand over your gun, Doc. Good boy. Now let's all take a stroll down to the Cochise County Jail, where we can talk. Move!
As Doc and Kate are led away by Tom, Wyatt bursts out of the saloon. Morgan and Virgil follow, trying to rein him back.
Wyatt, stop!
There is no way that I'm going to let that damn pipsqueak wear my badge.
Wyatt!
Lay off me, Virg. I refuse to remain subservient to those who don't know dung from wild honey. My patience has run out.
Wyatt, I think maybe you've had enough to drink.
I am weary of waiting around for the men I admire and respect to support me as I would support them.
Virg. I think he's so mad he could bite himself.
I deserve a stake in this town, and it is about time that I took matters into my own hands.
But things have changed. Just hold on, Wyatt.
For what?
Doc made his move. Let's wait. Let's see what they do next.
Not on your life.
What are you going to do?
I'm going down to the Cochise County Jail and claim what is rightfully mine.
Wyatt.
Wait and see. That's how we play it. Before you move upon her king, you ponder and you weigh it.
I can't do that.
Don't push, don't rush, don't take the bait. Wyatt, wait.
Oh, come on, Verge.
Wyatt, wait.
and see. Keep good and steady. And keep your head and keep your cool. You got to be ready.
I don't know, boys.
Look out, look sharp, anticipate. Wyatt, wait.
But,
Wyatt, wait.
Wait and wait till when?
I don't know.
Wait until we're dead. Are we mice or men? I want to draw first blood. I want revenge.
Wait and see. Hold your horses. You got to make a battle plan and muster your forces.
Well, like when?
Good things will come to those who wait.
Okay, I'll wait. This time I'll wait. For now, I'll wait.
We wait. We wait. We wait.
Down at the jail, Doc and Kate are locked in separate but adjoining cells. Tom leans against the bars of Kate's cell while Behan writes something at his desk.
You know she's innocent, Sheriff Behan. Release her, for God's sake.
Well, she is aiding and abetting a criminal. That's what Tom here says.
Because you have sawdust for brains doesn't mean you have to be a puppet.
Open the lady's cell, Behan, and give me that statement. You're going to sign this statement, lady.
What statement?
Why, you two-bit... Sheriff, why don't you leave me alone with this woman? Maybe I can talk some sense into her.
Don't do it, Behan.
I don't recall asking your opinion, Doc. Get lost, Behan.
All right, but I'll be right outside, Tom.
Good boy.
How much do you value your life, Tom?
This is between me and the woman. Isn't that right, Katie?
Tom advances on Kate, pushing her further into her cell. He removes his belt and begins wrapping it around Kate's arms.
You'll get nothing from me. Nothing.
Back off, Laurie.
What I'm gonna get is a return on my $2.
Tom throws Kate to the ground, looking like the devil has taken possession of him.
McLaurie, you better pray I never break out of here. McLaurie! Ah! Ah!
Early the next morning in the jail, Kate stirs, grabs onto the bars of her cell, and pulls herself up.
Doc, you all right?
I'm okay. How are you, Kate?
Let's not talk about it, Doc, if you don't mind.
I'm so sorry, Kate.
Nothing you could have done. Nothing.
lighting up trails. We never tried. We'd run brave and strong, like wild horses do. We'd live good and
morning. Brought you some coffee. Thought it might do you some good.
Thanks, Sheriff. I could use some. Mmm, tasty.
Doc?
It's not the kind of refreshment I had in mind.
You sure have a talent for brewing coffee, Sheriff. What do you got in there? Magic beans or something? Come over here. Let me see that pot.
Help yourself.
Hey, will you look at that? What's that moving in there?
Something moving? Gee, I don't see anything.
Kate, quick as a wink, picks the gun from Behan's holster.
Coffee time is over, Sheriff.
Oh, you are good.
Oh, you could be in a heap of trouble for this.
And you could be under a heap of soil-sprouting tulips from your navel. Now open up. Now, Docs. You hear me?
I seem to be having some trouble with the lock. Ah, there it is.
Where'd you put my gun?
Aha!
What the hell do you think you're doing? I didn't break us out of here so you can go get yourself killed. Look at me. Why are you doing this?
Let me ask you a question, Kate. How do you walk away?
No, Doc. The question is, what do you really want?
Lord, you know I tried, I did my very best to turn the other cheek as you suggest. But love your enemies, a hard request, when he's reaching for his gun. Here I go again, and it makes me sad to say goodbye to all the dreams we had. So how did something good turn out so bad? Take a look at what we've done. Poison the water, look at us now, we've poisoned water full of waste. Let them come and get a taste of poison water.
Mother of mercy!
Relax, Tom. Just relax. You don't want to wake the lady.
But I'm unarmed. You know China Mary don't allow no guns in her rooms. You ain't gonna shoot an unarmed man, are you? Are you?
I'm here to extend an invitation. You meet me later today, and we'll settle the score for all time.
Verge, what they done to Kate ain't right.
And what they do to one of us, they do to all.
We should end it now.
We should do it quick. And when we do it, damn it, make it stick.
A little piece of lead should do the trick.
There's a piece for everyone.
Gentlemen, this time Doc Holliday's called out the wrong man.
Wrong house, Tom.
wrong house.
Turn your back on wolves. This is what you get. You touch a rattlesnake and you get bit. The talking's over now. We finish it. Take a look at what they've done. Poison the water. Poison the water. Look at them now. They've poisoned the water. Poison water full of waste. Let them come and get a taste of poison water.
You hear that? It's the sound of hearts beating faster right before a kill. God, I love that sound.
I round up the boys, Doc. Don't be long.
Doc, it's not too late, not for us. 'Cause I know we can make it, Doc. Please don't go. What of all those dreams of getting out, cutting ties? They were only pretty lies. Just a pack of pretty lies.
I ain't gonna bury you. If you go down there, I gotta walk out on you.
I have no choice, Kate.
See the minute hand moving on the clock. Too late to close the door and turn the lock. It's what you wanted. Are you ready, Doc?
Yet today they're gonna pay at a place they call okay. 'Cause they poison the water, poison the water. We know just to poison the water, poison water's got to kill. Let them come and drink their pill. Poison water. Let the water go. Let that poison
Doc and the Earps begin their walk toward the corral.
Where the hell are they?
Inside the stable.
Quiet! Here they come.
They still have their guns.
Drop your arms, damn it.
No, he means your guns. Drop your guns!
Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, the whole affair at the OK Corral was one terrible mistake. Marshal Virgil Earp never challenged the Clintons.
Drop your arms, damn it!
He wanted them to drop their arms, their guns, to the ground.
Wait! Hold your fire!
The fight commenced in the middle of the street between the OK Corral and Fly's photography shop. The first one to hit the ground was Frank McCroy. I heard him say,
"Why are we doing this?"
He clutched his stomach and he collapsed in the dust. Next came Billy Clanton. The boy took a bullet in the chest.
But I'm dead.
Billy blinked twice and dropped like lead. Ike Clanton, in fear for his life, threw down his gun and ran through the door of the photography shop.
My God, do not kill me.
Tom McClory sent a bullet into Morgan's side. A shot, no doubt, meant for me.
I got you now, you cold-footed consumptive.
Defending myself, I took aim and fired. Now Billy rose like Lazarus. He was back on his feet, shouting,
"Give me more cartridges!"
Shooting blindly, enveloped in a cloud of smoke, he sent a bullet into Virgil's leg. Then Wyatt Earp fired his buntline special. Billy's gun finally fell silent. The battle lasted less than 60 seconds.
Well, like I said, it was all a mistake. I guess if I'm guilty of anything, it's being lucky. Because this cold-footed consumptive, as Tom liked to call me, managed to flip the hourglass one more time.
You are one lucky man, Doc Holliday.
Distinguished and honorable gentlemen of the press, I am elated that a jury of our peers has found us innocent of any wrongdoing.
Hey, Wyatt, could you turn this way for a picture?
I'm happy everything worked out for you, Wyatt.
I couldn't have done it without you, partner.
Sure wish you were here to raise a ruckus. Colorado's awful quiet.
Hey, you'll never guess what. I'm running for governor of California. I'm 38 years old, Doc. Got to do something with my life.
You never give up, do you?
Got a good chance of winning, too. I took to this politicking business like a fish takes to water.
You have a spot on your cabinet for an old gambler?
Yeah. The thing is, Doc, I got this kid from Harvard. He's managing my campaign. He says he says that I should distance myself as far as possible from my past associates.
I understand, Wyatt. Good luck.
Doc, well, what do you know? I heard a story that you got killed down in Mexico.
A nasty rumor, Kate.
I'm married, Doc. I got two little boys, Luke and Jed.
And your husband?
Marcus is a school teacher. His eyes are going, and I read to him at night. Lately, I've been reading Keats.
Then you are happy, Kate.
I am. Who would guess a life like this could make a woman happy? And you?
Maybe we didn't get to finish the game together, Kate. But I consider myself a winner.
Yeah. Me too.
Thank the Lord I met you, and we shared some time,
and I won't forget you, or that precious time,
till we meet again.
In tonight's cast, you heard Steve Blanchard, Patrick Ryan Sullivan, Judy McLean, Julia Wade, Joe Lutton, Raphael Ferrer, Vatican Loki, Chris Sarandon, Mark Moritz, Tim Jerome, and Michael Mulheron. Our engineer was Glenn Navia. Sundown was produced and directed by Tim Jerome. Please tune in next Saturday at 7 when WBAI will again present Audio Stages.
Well, darling, shall we?
No time like the present, huh?
Don't tell me to stop. Tell the rain not to drop. Tell me everything I'm not. Don't tell me to stop.
Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to WBAI in New York.
Yes, indeed, this is WBAI, and those of you who are tuning in to hear the Metropolitan